To Matthew chapter 6, verse 13 is our text tonight. Please give careful attention now to the reading of God's very word, this one verse. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Well, let's pray. Father, how we thank you for this portion of your word. And we acknowledge that we are dependent upon you, O Lord, to be our teacher. Lord, we can't understand or make use to our benefit of your precious word left to ourselves. And we are totally dependent upon you, O living God. Father, for you to draw us to your Son, you, Lord Jesus, to be our great prophet, to speak this, your very word, to our hearts. You, O God, the Holy Spirit, to come and be our teacher and give us eyes to see and a soft heart to embrace and trust in you, Lord Jesus, and give ourselves to walk following after you. And so bless us, O Lord. And it's in Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, this sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, we saw the first week that we were looking at this petition, that the heart of this petition is this whole matter of us being delivered from evil. And this term evil is a term that can refer to the evil one. It also includes the world, and it also includes the evil that would reside in our own hearts. Before we are converted, we are full of evil. Under the control of, as the scripture refers to it, the flesh. But even after we become children of God, there is the remnants of the old self that still would be present this side of heaven. And so the Lord's Prayer in this sixth petition has to do with us looking to God to be our Savior, to keep us saved. And so we want to continue kind of where we left off last Lord's Day evening. We're looking at that first category, the evil one. We're asking the living God in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and to deliver us from the evil one, the devil, Satan. We saw in the book of Genesis that our first parents, Satan attacked. He came and tempted Adam and Eve. And he lied. And as Jesus describes him in John chapter 8, he was a murderer and a liar from the beginning, making this reference to Satan. Coming there in the garden and attacking the Word of God and spreading his lies and enticing Adam and Eve to doubt the goodness of God. And they acted upon those lies and those insinuations of Satan, and they rebelled against God. Praise God, we saw that the Lord Jesus himself comes in a pre-incarnate appearance in the Old Testament. The Lord came walking in the cool of the day to address Adam and Eve. And when Adam heard the Lord walking in the garden, he ran and hid himself because he was fallen now. Instead of being friends with God, he was alienated. And the Lord graciously breaks the peace treaty between Adam and Eve and the evil one, and delivers Adam and Eve, the Lord Jesus, kills an animal and covers them with the skins. This picture that atonement is going to be provided by a substitute. And the Lord announced the gospel as he is cursing the serpent. He announced that a seed of the woman would come in the fullness of time who would crush the serpent's head. Well, we want to look at several other passages of Scripture. You remember we looked at Revelation chapter 12 that gives to us sort of a summary bird's eye view of this history of Satan fomenting a rebellion in heaven, seeking to overthrow Almighty God. And approximately a third of the angels followed this archangel in this futile attempt to overthrow Almighty God. And that is the devil and the demons of the realm of darkness. And we need Jesus to deliver us from such a foe. And praise God, that's the message of the Bible. Well, we want to look at several other passages of Scripture. First of all, if you will turn with me in the Gospel of Mark, we see that at the beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry, there was this man who was demon-possessed, and the demon started crying out. That was our call to worship this evening in Mark chapter 1. And if you'll turn back with me to Mark chapter 1, Jesus is teaching in the synagogue there, and the people were astonished at his teaching because he was telling them, here's what God says. And that's what biblical preaching is all about. It's not making up a story. It's not putting a spin on things. But it is simply opening up the Word of God and saying, here's what God says. And it's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. And here was the Savior of the world proclaiming the Word of God. No wonder the people were astonished. And what a contrast that was to the vain religion of man, the Pharisees who had the traditions of the rabbis. And they would base their teaching on all of these man-made ideas and traditions that had been passed from person to person and embellished. But the Lord Jesus says, no, here is what the Word of the living God is. And it's all about the living Word, the Lord Jesus himself. Well, we read in verse 23 in that context, and immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. And so here, this demon, who is one of the underlings, one of those fallen angels that followed Satan, who was one of the generals, if you will, in the armies of heaven, who led the rebellion, the futile rebellion against Almighty God, seeking to dethrone God himself. What an absurd, wicked thing. And yet that is what sin is. It is man denying God his rightful place. Man denying that God made me and I'm obligated to love and serve my Creator and Sustainer. Sin really is insidious. It is wicked and it is stupid. And this demon acknowledges that he is doomed. He's doomed. He says, have you come to destroy us? Now we're going to talk more about how the Lord Jesus is the one who alone can deliver us from Satan. But this demon cries out, I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us? And the Lord Jesus is going to come again. And as we're going to see, He is going to destroy ultimately and completely Satan and these fallen angels. And so if you will turn with me over in your Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 20, we want to begin this evening by thinking about how Jesus is going to deliver His people and this world ultimately, all who are trusting in Jesus, from this horrible evil foe and these underlings, these fallen angels, the demons of hell. Jesus is going to, on that great day when He comes again in glory, He is going to destroy Satan and the demons of hell, casting them into the eternal lake of fire where forever and ever they will be confined to this place of judgment and torment and never, ever, ever, ever again be free to cause harm to God's people or to God's universe ever again. In Revelation chapter 20, we'll start reading, and for the sake of time, I don't want to get bogged down in the details. Believe me, we could spend weeks looking at these verses, and it would be an exciting thing to do so. But I just want you to see in Revelation chapter 20, this, again, bird's eye view that God gives to us of how the Lord Jesus Christ has control even in history over Satan, but it is going to culminate when He comes again in glory and the full final victory over Satan will be brought to completion, to fruition, when our Lord Jesus comes again. And so if you'll look in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 20, and they marched up, talking about the people of the world that have set themselves against the Lord Jesus and His people, the people of God. They marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints in the beloved city. But fire came down from heaven and consumed them. And the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Then in verses 11 and following, we have this description of the central event on that great day, that it will be the day of judgment, the great white throne it's referred to. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who sits upon that throne. And the great and the small who have ever lived throughout history will be raised and made to stand before the tribunal of Almighty God and give an account for everything we've ever said and done and thought. And so let's read in verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and Him who was seated on it. From His presence, earth and sky fled away, and no place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them, according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, who else is thrown into the lake of fire? The devil and his angels. And so, what a horrifying event this is going to be. that those who are apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, everybody is going to be raised, body and soul reunited to stand before the Lord Jesus. And if our names are not found in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you have to repent and believe in Jesus, that's the evidence that your name is recorded in heaven, is in this life, repenting and believing in the Lord Jesus. That's the people whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Those who are repenting and believing in Jesus in this life. And if you wait to get to the courtroom before you get your lawyer, it's too late. And so I plead with you this evening in the name of the great Savior who made the heavens and the earth and bled on the cross and took the hell upon himself that belonged to his little lambs. This Jesus has been raised from the dead, and you will stand before him someday. And he offers you forgiveness. Don't push his offer away. I beg you in the name of Jesus to run to him and make peace with him even this night. Because if you leave this life apart from Jesus Christ, here is where you will end up. You will end up in the same fiery lake with the devil and his angels. That is what will happen to them. Well, we keep reading in Revelation chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And he who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give from the spring of the water of life without payment. The one who conquers will have this heritage, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." And so what a contrast. Here we have on that great day, the devil and the fallen angels that followed Lucifer in this futile rebellion against Almighty God, Jesus is going to cast them into the lake of fire on that great day. And those who are apart from Jesus will be cast into the same place. But what a contrast. Those who have repented and believed in Jesus, those who are seeking to follow after the Lamb in this life. What's going to happen to us on that great day? Jesus is going to welcome us, body and soul, into the bliss of heaven. He will wipe the tears from our eyes into a place where there's no sorrow or sickness, no more COVID-19, no more threat of death. Aging will be a thing that we will never struggle with ever again. Our bodies growing old and getting aches and pains and wearing out. Death will be no more. Broken relationships will be no more. We will be in the presence of our Redeemer. And he will embrace us and care for us and give us joy upon joy upon joy of having fellowship with him and living together in harmony with our God and one another forever and ever. But look at verse 8. He comes back to the fate of those who war against Jesus, who ignore Jesus, those who think they don't need the Lamb. But as for the cowardly, the faithless, the detestable, As for murderers, the sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars, their portion will be in the lake that burns with fire and sulfur, which is the second death. And so when we pray in the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we are looking ultimately to this great day when Jesus will come again in glory and deliver us who love the Lord Jesus in this life. He will give us the ultimate deliverance from evil. The ultimate deliverance from evil. And that's something that is yet to come. It hasn't happened yet, but we are a people who have hope. And you remember what biblical hope is. Biblical hope is different from the world's kind of hope. The world's kind of hope is on a day when you hear the thunder and the clouds are gathering and you're planning to go on a picnic and you look up and you feel a few drops of rain and you go, I hope it doesn't rain. You see some lightning, you go, I hope it doesn't. That's the world's kind of hope. But the hope the Christian has is the confidence that everything that God has promised to do and be for us will indeed, in God's good time, He will deliver. He will be faithful to everything He has ever promised us. And hope is our confidence that God is faithful to His Word before we even have it in hand. That's what biblical hope is. And so when we pray, deliver us from evil, we're looking ultimately to this great day when Jesus will come again and He will finish the job of applying the redemption He purchased in full upon the cross. All of the implications of that will be brought to complete perfection in its application to this universe by purging the universe with fire. And all of the vestiges of evil will be burned up and gone. And the devil and the fallen angels and all those who have warred against God and refused to make peace with God through the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, will be cast into the lake of fire that burns forever and ever. That's the ultimate deliverance from evil. But between now and then, the Lord Jesus comes by His Spirit. And when He came and walked among men, He brought deliverance from evil through His life and through His death on the cross. And I want you to see that when we pray, deliver us from evil, we're looking to Jesus to be our Redeemer. For example, turn with me to John chapter 12. John chapter 12. And we read in verse 27 and following, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this purpose I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." And then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that stood there and heard it said that it had thundered. Others said, "An angel has spoken to him." Jesus answered, "This voice has come for your sake, not mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now will the ruler of this world be cast out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death He was going to die. And so when Jesus looked, it's right before He's going to go to the cross. And He makes reference now to this event of his earthly ministry culminating in his going to the cross and dying. He will be lifted up. He's going to be suspended between heaven and earth, hung on a cross. And what's the significance of that? It is redemption for God's people, and that redemption for God's people is what? It is judgment on the squatter, the ruler of this world, so-called. Now, Satan has never been the ruler of this world in reality. God always has been God. But Satan stepped forward there in the garden, and he challenged the authority of God. He challenged and enticed Adam and Eve to reject God as their ruler and to embrace his lies and make a peace treaty with him. And that's why I refer to him as a squatter. You know, in the olden days when this country was being settled, people would go to places that nobody else lived and they would stake a claim. And they would say, so this piece of property is mine. And sometimes they would leave and go to the town. Might be 2 or 3 days journey. And while they were gone, somebody else would come and lay claim. And they would just sit down and start living there. And that's why they were referred to as squatters. They really didn't have claim to the land, but they pretended. And that's what Satan is. And Jesus announces here that this squatter who claims that the world belongs to him, Jesus came to deliver the world from the clutches of this insidious foe of Almighty God and mankind who bears the image of God. Men and women. And Jesus says, now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. Jesus is announcing that through his death, the stranglehold that Satan had on men and women would be broken for those who look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we pray, deliver us from evil, we're acknowledging that we need the Lord Jesus to deliver us from the lies of the evil one and from his capture of us as part of the fallen race of Adam. Let's go over to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Jesus sends the disciples out to preach. And he not only sent the 12 out, but he had another group of disciples, the 72. And look here in Luke chapter 10, verse 1. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him, two by two, into every town and place. And he told them to proclaim as they did these mighty miracles, demonstrating that they were indeed ambassadors of the King of Glory. This new message from Almighty God was accompanied with these supernatural works. And that's what we see throughout the history of redemption. Whenever God gave new revelation, he would accompany that new revelation with supernatural works, giving men the power and authority to do these supernatural works in the name of the living God. And so they were to say, as they healed the sick in verse 9, the kingdom of God has come near to you. How was the kingdom near? Because the king was near. His name is Jesus. But whenever you enter a town and they do not receive you, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town that clings to your feet, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, it will be more tolerable on that day, talking about the great judgment day, for Sodom than for that town. It'll be more tolerable on the great judgment day, Jesus says, for Sodom than for that town that saw the mighty miracles and heard the preaching of the sweet name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And that's true for the United States of America as well. We have heard much about the Lord Jesus. Oh, we dare not push him away. It will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah than for the United States of America on the judgment day. Because to whom much is given, much is required. Oh, we need Jesus to deliver us from evil. And the evil one is part of that. That's not the only thing we need Jesus to deliver us from, as we're going to see. But we do need deliverance from this horrifying foe, Satan, and the demons of hell. Luke chapter 10, look down in verse 13. Woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more bearable in the judgment for Tyre and Sidon than for you. And you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You shall be brought down to Hades. The one who hears you hears me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And the one who rejects me rejects him who sent me. Now, we need to understand what verse 16 is saying. Jesus says, listen, I have sent out my preachers. And if they are faithful to the word of God, if you reject what if I faithfully tell you what God's word says, or any other gospel preacher, if they're faithful, if what we say is faithful to Scripture, then you're not rejecting me. You don't have to answer to me. But we are going to stand before Almighty God. We will answer to Him. And this is His revealed will, the Holy Scriptures. We need to listen to it. Well, keep reading verse 72, verse 17. The 72 returned with joy. So they've been sent out to preach. They come back saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. And so it is the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the message of life and hope to deliver us from the realm of darkness, from Satan and the demons of hell. Turn with me over in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 2. And here we see the Lord Jesus reminding us that the apostles finished giving the rest of the New Testament, of the Word of God, completing the apostolic message, the gospel according to Holy Scripture. And so we now have 66 books. And so notice what we read in verse 1. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable. And he's referring to the Old Testament giving of Word of God. That many times you see angels present. For example, in the book of Zechariah, in the book of Daniel. The people in the preacher's day, and we think it was probably the Apostle Paul who is the preacher, the human author of Hebrews, whether that's the case or not, it was either an apostle or written under the direction of an apostle by God the Holy Spirit. He's the author of God's Word. And this message that was delivered through the angels in the Old Testament time, it was reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution. If that's true, Look at verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard. While God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to His will. This new revelation, as it was breaking forth from the mouth of Almighty God, He attended through those apostolic gifts that were given in that day while this new portion of Scripture was being revealed. Verse 5, it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the Son of Man that you care for him? You made him for a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Quoting from Psalm 8, reminding us of the position of man before the fall. God had created Adam and Eve and placed them in the Garden of Eden to exercise dominion. They were in the paradise of God. But because of this enemy coming and lying and sowing his seeds of murder, Adam and Eve rebelled against Almighty God and plunged not only themselves, but all the human race into this nightmare of sin. And so, keep reading. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him. And who's the him? It is a particular man. It is God who has come and taken on human flesh. It's our Lord Jesus. We see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one source. And that is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers. Oh, what a sweet thing it is if you belong to Jesus, if you are confessing Jesus. Jesus is Lord. I believe that you raised him from the dead, from the heart. Jesus owns us as his brothers and sisters. He's not ashamed. And if there was anybody he would ever have the right to be ashamed of, it's me. And yet he says that because he became a man like us, he identifies with us, and he came and lived a perfect life and laid down his life upon the cross as the substitute to pay for the sins of his little lambs, all who believe in him. And so, if you are trusting in Jesus, Jesus is not ashamed to own us. We shouldn't be ashamed to own him. We dare not. As a matter of fact, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before men, I will not acknowledge you before my Father and the mighty flaming angels. But if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father. He is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, I will tell of your name to my brothers in the midst of the congregation. I will sing your praise, and again I will put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children God has given me. And now here we come. You say, Henry, I was with you, but what does this have to do with being delivered from the evil one? Well, look at verse 14. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not angels that he helps, but he helps the children of Abraham. And therefore, he had to be made like his brothers in every respect so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, Hebrews 4 goes on to say he's been tempted in all things like we have been tempted, but there's one difference between him and us. He is, was, and forever will be without sin. And notice that Jesus came to destroy the one who had the power of death, that is the devil, and held us in fear of this horrifying enemy of death. Now, what does the world do? Well, the world listens to the lies of the evil one, and the world says, well, you know, I'm not afraid of death. And you even see these stickers on people's cars and pickup trucks from time to time still. No fear. I don't fear anything. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't have the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to fear. You're going to stand with fear and trembling before the Lord, the judge of all the earth. You may talk big. Jesus came to deliver us from the fear of death. Are you afraid of the coronavirus? Now, I don't want to get it. Don't misunderstand me. I love being in good health. But I'm not afraid to die because I belong to Jesus. I know that when I die, unless Jesus comes to end history before that day, the day's going to come when I'm going to die. And how can we live in light of such things? Well, the world either says, well, I'm not afraid of death, or pretends that death isn't real or that death really isn't an enemy. But deep down, every man and woman and boy and girl knows that death is an enemy. That death is a horrible thing. And Jesus came to deliver us from the one who had the power of death. That is the devil. May the Lord deliver our country from the evil one. We are in his clutches. And only Jesus can deliver us. Only Jesus can come and break the stranglehold that is upon the men and the women and the boys and the girls and the families and the institutions of our land. Oh, we need Jesus to come down and to preach his gospel to our hearts. As we are being shaken as a nation, to wake up and to see that we need a Savior, that Satan is full of lies. The governor of Virginia is acting upon the lies of Satan when he says we ought to have non-elective surgeries canceled and has gone to all of these measures to protect life. And I'm thankful that our officials have said life is important, and yet the abortion mills are wide open by his decree. That is the lies of Satan that have clouded and covered his eyes. And we pray that the Lord will awaken him and the legislature that has passed the laws that he has signed recently, doing away with even restrictions on abortions. The wickedness of attacking the Second Amendment of people having the right to defend ourselves and our families, that is, again, an expression of this lie of Satan, of a love for death. But Jesus came to deliver us from death and the fear of death and the one who had the power of death, that is, the devil. May God give us great joy to belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you belong to Jesus? If you do, we rejoice and we turn our back on the lies of Satan. And we say, I want the Lord Jesus. I own the Lord Jesus. He is my Lord. And I take my stand upon His Word. You remember 1 John chapter 3 talks about how that you can tell the difference between a child of God who just is pretending, who says they're a Christian but they really aren't, and one who really genuinely from the heart loves Jesus. He says, little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous, as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil, for the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus came, to destroy the works of the devil, to break the stranglehold that Satan had upon God's little lamb, so that we might be set free from this horrifying foe, to belong to the living God and to have joy and freedom in Jesus, to have our sins washed away and to belong to Him. Well, there's so much more that we could look at, but I hope you can see how rich this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer is. Deliver us from evil. And one of the aspects, and we're going to look at other aspects of it beginning, Lord willing, next week, but tonight we finished looking at least what we're going to at this one aspect. We are asking Jesus to deliver us from the devil, from the evil one, from his lies, from his clutches, from his powerful grip upon us. Another passage I had intended for us to look at, and I'm just going to make reference to it, and you can read it on your own, is in Mark chapter 5. And here we have this description of this man who was demon-possessed. He had willingly given himself to evil, like a man who raises a pet snake. You know, not too long ago, I read another story about this fool who raised a python in his home. And this python was just such a cute little snake when he got it. And he fed it, and it grew and grew and grew, and he kept thinking that he's in control of this pet. And it grew and grew and grew, and it got so big that one day it crushed him to death. And that's how people are with evil. They think, I can control it, and they keep feeding it. Well, Mark describes for us this man who had given himself more and more to evil, and he was possessed, and he lived in the tombs, and he had supernatural strength from the realm of darkness, and he was a terror to the community. And Jesus came and set him free. Jesus came and set him free. And that's what I need. That's what you need. We need Jesus to deliver us from the evil one. He's the only one who can defend us and protect us and keep us from the evil one. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would write upon our hearts this wonderful truth that Jesus, you came to deliver your lambs from the evil one. We thank you that that great day will surely come when you will come again in glory, Lord Jesus, and cast the devil and the fallen angels into the lake of fire. And we beg, Lord, that you would awaken the people of this land. Oh, Lord, awaken our governor, awaken all of our civil leaders. Lord, if there are those around us in our own homes, Lord, maybe even someone listening tonight who is apart from you, Lord Jesus, who does not confess from the heart that you are Lord and Savior. Lord, grant repentance and faith Lord, deliver us from the evil one, from his lies, from his murderous clutches upon us. Oh, we need you, Lord Jesus, to come and be our Savior. How we thank you that you came to deliver us from evil. And we thank you for this precious prayer and for not only what you teach us about praying, but about living. And it's in the name of Jesus we give praise and thanks to you for being our Savior who gives us life. Jesus our Lord. Amen.